Our scripture lesson is taken from Psalm 103. You can follow along on the screen, or else pull out your Bibles, which are in the pews, and follow along in those as well. It's a Psalm of David. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, this morning as we come to You, we ask that You open our hearts and minds to receive Your word, that we won't be distracted by the other events that are going on today. And we make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. In the summer of 1976, Robert Santaway of Bennington, Vermont, decided he wanted to run for Congress. And as part of that process, he was required to disclose his assets, his net worth. And I want you to hear what he listed. The bottom line that he put on that form was $899,600. Somehow I got that wrong, but you understand what I mean. Almost $900,000. Listen to what he had to say. This is what he listed as some of his assets. Personal health, $100,000. A solid family life, $150,000. No campaign support from Washington, $20,000. Personal enjoyment of music, $40,000. A positive outlook on life, $50,000. Now, he also listed some liabilities. Here are two. First of all, he listed his mortgage at $6,200. And then the second thing he listed as a liability was a cat that wanted to go in and out at all days and times and hours of the day, and he listed that as $100 as a liability. He listed assets of almost $900,000 on an income of just under $10,000. Don't you love his attitude and outlook on life? You know, I think he's more unique in our culture than he probably even realizes. It was Oscar Wilde who said that Americans know the price of everything and the value of nothing. But yet it seems to me that Robert Santaway is one who looks beyond the obvious to the things that were hidden, the hidden treasures in life. Thanksgiving, which for our purposes is this whole weekend, Thanksgiving is a time in which we can clear out the clutter and sort of blow the dust off of those things for which we are thankful for. Sometimes those things that we just take for granted every single day. And there have been times, I know, in my own life where that's been true. There have been times in my life that I give thanks to God not so much for the spiritual blessings that He's given to me, but maybe more for the material things. There have been times in my life when I've listed those things that I've been thankful for, and I do it almost by rote, by memory. It's like I've created this list in my mind, and as I go through my devotional time, I just sort of list them. If somebody asks me what you're thankful for, you know, they're right there, and you can sort of rattle them off quickly. But somehow there's a part of me that says, I'm not sure that God is terribly thrilled with that kind of a response. It seems kind of superficial. It seems kind of shallow. Now, I know none of you do that, but I do that. And it seems to me that God might be disappointed in our thanksgiving if that's our approach to giving thanks. That if it's just a list, you know, it's a list that we've created, and it's a list that we have there, and we do it, we include it as part of our devotional time, or we talk about it maybe with other people around Thanksgiving, but it doesn't really do much for us. It doesn't really impact us on any deeper level. It doesn't touch our soul significantly. And so as I read Psalm 103, and particularly the first few verses of this psalm, I was challenged. It hit a chord in me and reminded me that maybe my thanksgiving needed to go a little bit deeper. It needed to maybe reflect a little bit more of the kind of impact that it had on David's life. So this morning I'm going to take a look at these first two verses. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. I want to take a look at those two verses, and I want to sort of compare David's thanksgiving and the genuineness and the richness of his thanks versus what so often in our lives seems to pass for thanksgiving but might be just a bit more superficial. What was it about what David did and what David said that made his thanksgiving so rich and so full? The first thing I want you to see is the root of his thanksgiving. It's a joy that he has that comes from beneath the surface. It comes from beneath the obvious. The joy that he has comes from his very soul. I don't know, some of you may have played this game with your children when they were young or your grandchildren when they were young, but it's a very simple game, and infants that are somewhere between 6 months and a year just sort of love it. It's the sort of sad face, happy face game. You put your hand in front of your face and you have a sad face, and then you bring it down and all of a sudden your face is fun and it's smiling, and children love that because they, infants in particular, respond to a face that's smiling. And I say that because I wonder sometimes if our thanksgiving isn't much more than that. That we have our time together with God, we have our devotional time, or we're sitting around Thanksgiving meal, and what are you thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for, let's see, my health and my family, and, you know, we list all the usual kinds of things. But then 15 minutes later, we get up and do something, or something happens, and all of a sudden, that Thanksgiving nature, that Thanksgiving spirit that we had has disappeared. Why? I think for some of it's because it wasn't really all that deep and all that rich to begin with. It was really just sort of a litany of things. It never really touched our soul. And David, we see time and time again, somebody who has an attitude of praise that comes from his soul. And it's not dependent on the circumstances or the situations of his life. It's said that one of the reasons why Nero hated the Christians so much and persecuted them so much was because he got tired of hearing them sing their songs of joy. He was tired of seeing that smile and that reflection of God's joy and peace and contentment on their face. And so he decided that maybe if he tortured them enough or killed enough of them or took away enough of their possessions or in general just made their life miserable enough that therefore they would stop singing their silly hymn songs of praise to God and they'd take that silly smile off their face. But you know, that's not what happened. Because the more he tortured them and the more he killed them and the more miserable he made their lives, the louder they sang, the longer they sang, the more enthusiastically they sang, and the more courageously they died. For them, truly, the joy of the Lord was their strength. And that was true for David as well. David had a joy and a thanksgiving and a contentment that radiated from deep within him. If you read over this psalm, you will notice that with the exception of that one part where it talks about God forgiving our diseases, everything else in this psalm talks about the spiritual blessings that come from knowing God and from having God as your companion. There's nothing in here that talks about all the material possessions that God had blessed David with. And I think the reason is obvious. The reason is because David understood that material possessions like milk have a short shelf life. That those things can be taken away. Those things can be destroyed. It's the spiritual things. It's the spiritual possessions. The spiritual benefits that we have with God and from God that are important. I think that's one of the reasons why David's thanksgiving is so potent. Why it is so constant is because it is not dependent on his situation or his circumstances. It comes from his soul. Helen Keller said, "They took away what should have been my eyes, but I remembered Milton's paradise. They took away what should have been my ears, but Beethoven came and took away my tears. They took away what should have been my tongue, but I talked with God when I was young. God would not let them take away my soul. Possessing that, I still possess the whole." Can you say that? Could you say that if people came and took away everything else except for your very soul, that you could still respond with thanksgiving to God? So often, our thanksgiving is dependent on our situation. It's dependent on our financial situation, or our health, our marriage, our job, and how things are going. So often when we get to that point in our life, maybe when things are not going well, we sort of cry out to God and we say, "Okay, God, I've been traveling in this valley long enough. It's time for you to go touch somebody else's life. Give them an opportunity to travel." Are we able to give thanks to God from our very soul, regardless of the situation? Or is our thanksgiving really just a surface kind of a thing from our lips? The second thing that David teaches us in this psalm about thanksgiving is not only does it come from our soul, but it comes directly and primarily from his relationship with God. It's a relationship that is more important than anything else to David. Steve Brown, who is a Presbyterian pastor who's working in Florida, said this. He said, "Too often Christians make the mistake of thinking that joy and happiness are promised to us on the journey of life. That somehow life is to be easier and therefore it's going to be, or we're going to be happier in that process." And of course he says that's not true, and we all know that, that life is the pits. He goes on to say that life is full of rough roads and dangerous curves and sharp edges. There are times when we're on that road that the road is not well marked. Sometimes it's not marked at all. Sometimes literally we find ourselves in a fog. Sometimes there is no joy in the journey, but this is what he says, and I think it's so great. He says, "But there is always joy in the companionship of Jesus Christ." That the joy that is promised is not, the joy that is promised to Christian is not the joy of the journey. It is the joy of Jesus on the journey. Now, if you're married and you have a stable and a fairly healthy relationship, you probably can understand what David was talking about. Because as you understand, that marriage can be difficult at times. There are some bumps in the road as you go along. But the joy that comes from marriage is the companionship that you have as you make that journey together. Now, the same can be said as you take a family camping trip or you go on a mission trip. It's not so much the experience that is easy. Sometimes those can be very difficult. But it's the journey that you make with the people. It's the companionship that you have on that journey that makes it so worthwhile. And I see that in David. David in Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not fear, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death." Why is it that he's not afraid? It's not because it's easy. It's because he has the companionship of God as he goes through that valley. And when you have Jesus as a friend, or to use the name of the hymn, if you have a friend in Jesus, that changes your perspective on life, and it changes your perspective on how you interact with life. You know that when the pilgrims gave thanks that first winter, out of 102 that arrived, only 52 of them were still alive. Half of them had died. And out of those 50 or so that were still alive, there were only 7 that were actually healthy. And beyond that, they had gotten to the point where they were rationing their kernels of corn to one another. Somewhere between 5 and 10 kernels of corn were being rationed to people just to keep them alive. It's a little different picture than what we might imagine, isn't it? It's not that they were coming and giving thanks because of the abundance that they had. They were coming to give thanks to God because God was God. They were coming to give thanks to God because of his faithfulness, because of his companionship in the midst of a difficult situation. For you and for me, our joy and our thanksgiving in life is going to be real. And it's going to be rich and it's going to be genuine if we come to the point where we can acknowledge the presence of God even in the midst of difficult situations. That's what matters. Thanksgiving, which is truly genuine, is that, as David says, that comes from our very soul, and it's that which is based on our relationship with God. A relationship with God that, regardless of where we are in life, we will never forget the benefits, both spiritually and materially, that God gives to us. True thanksgiving means that we are able to praise God in spite of, and sometimes even because of, the situations in which God puts us in. And if we are even then able to give thanks to God like David was, then we know that our praise comes from our very soul. And we also know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for the promise of your faithfulness, for your companionship to us, for the joy that you give to us on the journey. Help us today and each day to remember that we are your children, and to give you our thanks and our praise. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.